Thomas is in Limerick. Thomas contacted us. Again, we're talking about Job Bridge, and we mainly yesterday were talking about people who did Job Bridge, and with one exception, they were glad they did it. But Thomas, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
You're on Gateway.
That's right.
Explain what that is and what you do and why you're unhappy.
Well, Gateway was a scheme brought in by the government. I started it in February of this year, and they wanted me to work a full week, 39-hour week, and to be off the following week and come in the next week. But I explained how that would be very difficult for me to do because I have two teenagers in secondary school and I have a young child in primary school that would need to be collected in the afternoon. So I asked him if I could do 4 hours in the morning every week.
Okay.
And they agreed to that. So before I started the scheme, Joe, I felt I was forced onto it.
Okay, explain that to us now, because that's one aspect that hasn't been covered adequately.
Right.
How do you believe? Well, to explain how you were forced onto it.
Well, when I explained how I couldn't work a full week and how that I had the school run in the afternoon and I wouldn't be available to do the scheme, they said, well, I wouldn't be entitled to job seekers allowance then because I wouldn't be available for work.
Okay.
So then I explained, I said, I cannot afford to get my social welfare payment cut because we have a big mortgage here and I have three children here. And my wife works 7 or 8 hours a week. So I had €405 job seekers allowance, but they cut €6 because of my wife working 7 or 8 hours a week. So that brought it down to €399.
Mm.
So they said to give me a €20 top up. So I said, okay, I didn't mind doing it because, you know, it's meet people and get out of the house and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
But with the €20 top-up, I pay nearly €17 PRSI.
Wow.
Now, and I also pay €20 tax. Then I had to go to the credit union and borrow €2,000 in order to get me to the scheme to buy a second-hand car. So I'm paying €27 on the loan to the credit union each week. I'm down €20 in tax. I'm paying €30 on petrol coming and going to work. So when I add it all up, I'm €77 worse off than I was on job seekers.
And your point is you couldn't, it's almost, if you weren't doing this Gateway, you'd be better off.
I would be.
Better off by 77. Okay. But you're saying you can't not do it because they will say to you, well, then if you're not available to do Gateway, you're not available for work,
exactly.
Ergo, you shouldn't be entitled to job seekers.
Exactly. That's what they told me, yeah.
And by the way, what is the work you're doing?
I'm just going around with a brush in the road.
Where? In a community
in
centre?
In a village here in County Limerick. I'm from Limerick City myself, but we bought a house out here in 2007. Mm. County Limerick, and I was working at the time in Limerick, and I was made redundant in 2010. So we're struggling really hard to try and pay a mortgage, and I feel that when I done this scheme, I said, well, I wouldn't be €20 better off what I thought I would like, but I said it might lead to something else. I might get a job out of it, but I can't see me getting any job out of it because, you know, as I said, I'm going around with a brush there, just brushing the road, and, you know.
And what are the Department of Social Protection hoping? Are they hoping that when you're going around sweeping the road, somebody would see you and say, we'll give you a job, is it?
They must. I asked about, when I was called for an interview, I said, they explained to me I'd be working for the Limerick County Council, and it was for 22 months, and I said, would there be any chance that I could get a job with the council after the 22 months? But they kind of shook their heads and didn't say anything, you know. So I thought it might lead to something, but I'm doing it now for the last 8 months and basically just walking around with a brushing side of the roads.
Okay. Thomas, stay with us. We talk to other people around Job Bridge or
okay,
are on job. Michelle, 51551 is our text number, by the way. Michelle, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
You are a fully qualified primary school teacher.
Yeah, I am indeed. I qualified in 2009, so I'm 5 years qualified. I just want to speak in favour of JobsBridge. I haven't been on it myself, but there's a lot of teachers out there like myself that are fully qualified but can't get work in schools. And I'd much rather, you know, have somewhere to go in the morning than be sitting at home looking out my window, like, you know, the teacher said the other day on the phone to yourself.
But there's very, very, very few school teachers on JobBridge. 22 was the last for out of the 5,000 primary school teachers in the country are on JobBridge. No, they're not teachers, obviously. But you know the union has basically boycotted it.
Yeah, no, this is my point. I think it was either was it a principal or someone from the teaching council was on yesterday.
Chairman of the board of a primary school.
Yeah, and he made a very valid point. When you qualify as a teacher, you have to do a thing called, it's like a dip year, so you're on probation for 100 days, and then when you get this done, you're fully probated. And the problem that I'm encountering, and other teachers like myself, are when you go for interviews in schools, if you don't have this probation done, it's quite hard to get a job in a school. And then, of course, you have, you know, you can't get into a school because there's no vacancies, and you can't get jobs because you're not probated. So I think if the, you know, the Teaching Council and the INTO got on board with JobsBridge, this would be a good way of, you know, getting teachers like myself probated and giving us a better chance of getting a job in a school.
Well, their argument is the government should be creating full-time jobs.
But that's, you know, unfortunately, with the way the economy has gone, and, you know, like, I've been in schools that have lost teachers, and, you know, I think they need to create some sort of solution. I myself would much rather be getting €230 a week for actually going into a school, you know, knowing I was working towards getting my probation, than sitting at home getting €180, you know.
And have you, by the way, you've qualified for 5 years. Have you had any work in the 5 years?
Oh, yeah, I have. Like, I've been lucky. I've been kind of in temporary positions, and I've done substitute positions, mostly working as a resource teacher, and you're not able to do your probation in a resource position. And it just happened the school I was in this year, and they lost a teaching position. So there was nothing for me for September. So, yeah, I'm out of work at the moment. So,
okay, stay there, Michelle. Adam is on the line. Adam, good afternoon.
How are you doing, Joe?
You're on JobBridge.
I'm not long finished up on a JobBridge placement.
And where were you working?
I was with one of the local authorities.
And what was that like?
It was awful, to be honest with you. I got very little out of it 3 days into it. I was told that there would be absolutely no chance of a job. And within 2 weeks, I had picked up all the skills that I was going to attain through the job. On week number two, I actually trained another intern. And that was it for 9 months.
And you got absolutely nothing out of it. Did you complain?
Well, you know, at the end of the day,
we're told yesterday that JobsBridge is monitored and there's inspectors from the Department of Social Protection and SULAS going around. Did you complain?
We had one person out. There was three interns there. We had one person out from the local employment service, and we did put our case across, all three of us, to that individual, and basically we're told, you know, to continue applying for jobs. But, you know, going back to what you've been talking about over the last number of days, Joe, in regards to graduates looking to complete their HDIP coming on to the JobBridge scheme, you know, it's ridiculous to tie those two together. The reality is that people who need to gain experience in order to complete their HDIP, that's a training scheme that they need to be on. Putting them onto JobBridge and tying them in is just creating an argument within the electorate. Really and truly, you know, people are kind of at opposite ends of the scale. Some people have a great experience because they are achieving that educational benefit, but other people are achieving absolutely nothing from JobBridge. You know, when you see
listen to Michelle there. She's a fully qualified teacher. She said she would gladly do JobBridge.
Absolutely, but the point is that if Michelle goes on to JobBridge and is in a position then to further her career, then that's of a benefit. But the reality for a lot of people going on to JobBridge, going into jobs, like I've seen jobs advertised this morning just before I come on the show, looking for a cold storage operative here in Monaghan. And the reality is that that organisation has no, there's no obligation on them whatsoever to employ anybody. So after the 6 or 9 months is up, it just rolls over and a new person is taken on. And that's the experience of a lot of Jobbridge interns that I've spoke to in my research.
What research are you doing? You're doing research on it, are you?
I have been doing, well, I just in regard to that other gentleman that was on with you, I wrote a report on the Gateway Scheme just before it was implemented and submitted that to the International Labour Organization. But in the course of that research, I researched into Jobbridge as well.
Okay, have you published a report?
I have published a report,
okay, well, what's your name? We look it up. What's your full name? Sorry, I can't see it. I know they have it upstairs. What's your full name?
Adam O'Brienon.
Adam O'Brienon, okay. And you've done, this is your own research?
This is my own research. I presented it to the Dáil, and it was presented directly to Minister Burton by Angus O'Snodig of Sinn Féin.
And what were your conclusions? I presume they weren't positive.
Well, if you just read the... If you go on to the International Labour Convention's website, the C-29 amendment for the Fourth Labour Convention, I just read this last...
I don't want ILO,
look,
so from Geneva.
Two lines, Joe.
Yeah,
listen, you have to understand it, right? It says, the term forced or compulsory labour shall mean all work or service which is exacted from any person under the menace of any penalty, which that person has not offered themselves up for voluntarily. So what that man was saying, he was forced onto the scheme.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually costing him money at the moment. And like his story, I was talking to a gentleman yesterday evening who was promised a €20 top-up and is now getting £5.75 out of the deal. And he's actually incurring a lot more expense now going to it. So the reality of that scheme, and schemes similar to it, is that they are forced labour. And I have my complaints sitting with the ILO, and Ireland is up for review on
Okay.
2015.
Thomas, do you see yourself as forced labour?
I do, yes. Certainly.
Okay.
Certainly. Before, as I said to you earlier on, Joe, you know, when I explained to the Department of Social Protection the situation I was in, the first thing I was told was, well, if you don't take up this scheme, you're not available for job seekers allowance. You're not entitled to job seekers allowance.
But Thomas, you also, in your earlier conversation, you gave me the impression that there are a lot of burdens at home, that you do a lot of the... Is there any way they could have taken that into account?
I don't think so. I explained my situation, Joe. I explained that I lost my job in 2005. I worked for rehab in Limerick.
Yeah.
And it was all evening work I did. I went in at 5 until 1 in the morning. So I was free during the day to do the school runs. So I explained to the Department of Social Protection that if they could get me a job or a scheme that would put me on an evening shift, that I would be more than glad to do it. But then when I discovered that I had to pay €17 PRSI, that was the €20 top-up gone. And then €20 on tax. I didn't think I'd have to pay tax on one of these schemes. So I'm actually 77 to €80 worse off.
I know.
Yeah,
maybe that's one of the things they're going to address in the budget. Adam, what are you against all Gateway and all Jobsbridge, full stop?
I'm not against all Jobsbridge. I'm against Gateway, full stop, to tell you the truth. I think anything that forces people into employment is regressive. It's not progressive. But Jobbridge, no, I'm not 100% against it at all. But it's the figures that don't add up to me, Joe. It just doesn't make sense. You know, they spill out a lot of figures to us from the Indicon report in 2013, but they don't tell you an awful lot. You know, the amount of people who go on Jobbridge that actually complete.
Well, one of the core arguments here is didn't Joan Borton, I don't know if you remember, Sinn Féin, but so you can't answer on their behalf. But Joan Borton articulated this earlier in the week. She said the difference, and I know she wasn't specifically talking about Jobbridge, but it is a whole mindset. She said it's the difference between a working economy and a welfare economy. That she wants to try and get people out there working.
Well, here's Joe, right? In the Indicom report in 2013, and that's going back to last year, and the numbers were from 2012, so they've increased since then. But the number stated that there was 12,560 people commenced onto Jobbridge, right? That's €50 per person for an average of 30 weeks, because the schemes are either 6 or 9 months. So we call it an average of 30 weeks. That has cost the department €18 million. That's only up to 2012.
Now,
18 million could have done an awful lot more than that.
Well, that's on top of people's social welfare.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if you take that into consideration, you know, surely that money could have been better spent. Now, I appreciate that there are people out there who have degrees coming out.
Yeah, but we had loads of people yesterday. We had loads of people who've been on Jobbridge. This is the difference. And they say, in the main, I know there was one caller yesterday who wasn't happy at all, and Thomas today on Gateway isn't happy, but the people who were on Jobbridge were overall, when push came to shove, they were glad they did it. That was the point they made. They were glad they did it. And it comes back to this image that teacher, unemployed teacher, presented on Monday. And that is, I'm sitting here looking out the window. There's a school I can see down the bottom of the road. I'm qualified to teach in that school. I'm getting 180 a week unemployment benefit. I could get an extra 50 and I would work in that school and get into the system and help out, assist. That doesn't affect they have their quota of teachers under the regulations or whatever. I would be an extra for the 230, which the state would be paying anyway. Why can't I do that? That was the basic point she was making. You're saying to her, sit there.
No, I'm not saying to her, sit there at all, Joe. What I'm saying is that the government need to implement...
No. What are you saying to Sandra?
I'm saying to Sandra... No, what am I saying to Sandra herself?
What are you saying to real people? This is real people we're talking about.
But you see, this is the problem, Joe. Why are we arguing amongst ourselves? It's the government who are responsible for this, not the people.
Yeah, but the government are of the people.
No, they're representatives of the people.
Yes, they were elected by the people.
Absolutely.
Between them, they have 100 TDs, whether you like it or not, who were elected by the people.
Okay. Well, then, me, as a member of the electorate, as a citizen of this country, what I want to see is a situation where Sandra, who needs to get the experience in order to get out there and complete the qualification that she's trying to achieve, that the government put in place a mechanism that works with the INTO and with the teachers' union.
So they should have a veto.
No.
That's what you're saying. The teacher union should have a veto. Because they've said... But teacher unions have said, we're not working with this, full stop.
The word
exploitation is in their press statements. They
are
not working. They are not working with it, full stop. So
why are they calling it exploitation?
I don't know. That's their own argument.
They're calling it that because it is a system of job replacement.
And do you think the government would introduce... And this is the argument, for and against. I don't have anyone to put the other argument to you at this stage. But do you think the Labour Party, Fine Gael, would introduce a scheme that's just exploitative?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Is that your Sinn Féin position?
That's my position as a citizen.
Are you a Sinn Féin member?
I am a member of Sinn Féin.
Okay, well, that's fine. And what do you think of that argument that Sandra would rather be walking than looking out that window?
I can appreciate that. Look, when I was unemployed at first, I went on the CE.
But you're saying the government has to change first.
The government has to change the system. You know, Jobbridge is too... They've widened the net too far.
Michelle, what do you think of that? That the system has to change?
I do agree the system needs to change, but I think, you know, it needs to come from the people. I think, you know, the more teachers and principals of schools that are on board, the better chance there is of, you know, maybe the teaching council and the INTO getting on board with the scheme.
Yeah, but I think if you read the INTO statement or you heard INTO people talking about, there isn't a hope, not a hope in hell. That they will allow it.
Well,
Michelle, are you a member of the INTO?
Yeah, I am indeed, yeah.
Well, we all have to register. Yeah, you have to be a member, don't you?
Yeah, you have to be a member and you also have to be a member of the teaching council.
Yeah.
So.
If you're not teaching for 5 years, don't you lose your membership at a teacher can you lose your recognition or whatever. So you need to get into schools. But have you raised you say you want to go on Jobbridge. You're a member of the INTO. Would you raise that within the INTO?
I have approached the two organisations, just, you know, with the position that I was in. I rang them up at the end of June and explained to them, you know, and I have friends who are in similar positions to me. It's hard to raise an issue when, you know, you don't have a huge amount of people on board, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Thanks, Thomas. Thanks, Michelle and Adam Nebrain on. Thanks indeed. 51551.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Okay, people who were on Jobbridge, 51551, Emma Boylan and Donegal. Emma, you were on Jobbridge. You've heard I don't think there's been an issue in the last few months that's animated people so much between hatred of it and sometimes abusive people who were advocating it and to people in favour of it. Emma, what was your experience?
Well, I had a really good experience with it. No, I'm not saying that every job bridge
program. Okay, now just talk about your, tell me your story.
Okay, so I came back from Australia and I was looking for a job, but it was all job bridge that was kind of coming out of it. But I have a degree in psychology and I wanted to go into PR and kind of marketing. So I got a job bridge program with the Letterkenny Chamber of Commerce doing their PR and their digital marketing. And at night time, I studied with the European Institute of Communications in Dublin, my PR and marketing. And my job bridge money actually paid for that postgrad in that. So I was getting education or getting experience during the day, getting education at night time and using my money from Jobbridge to fund that. So without Jobbridge, I wouldn't be where I am. And now I have my own business called Outside the Box. And I literally started that after my internship with the Chamber of Commerce.
But would you have been getting your social welfare anyway?
Yeah, I would have been getting 188, but the extra 50 enabled me to, I used 50, it was 60 a week I paid for my postgrad, so I used that 50 and a tenner of my own money.
But then the argument earlier on was you're getting to work, the cost of getting to work, lunches, clothes, whatever, that all, that's an extra expenditure which is not covered.
Of course it is, definitely, but I think if you really want to make it work, you make it work, and this is something that I really, really wanted, so I put other things on hold. I wasn't doing everything I wanted to, maybe entertainment-wise or clothing-wise, but this is something I focused on, something that I wanted, so I made it happen, if that makes sense. I know it's not possible for everyone.
Okay, and the third point, Emma, that will be put to us by people who not necessarily have been on Jobs Bridge but have are opposed to it either ideologically or whatever, is that it's replacing full-time employment. You're being exploited.
And yes, I'd say a lot are doing that, but there is organisations like the Chamber of Commerce who are non-profit and they need people like us in there helping out. So for me, I gain something and they gain something. And I think whatever you go into, it's about utilising it to the best of your ability so you can get something out of it and maybe creating a position that wasn't there before but is indispensable to them then after.
So if you had not taken that job, they would not have employed somebody in your stead?
I don't think so.
Okay. Stay with us, Emma. Okay, Elaine Curran is in Donegal. Elaine, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
You say you've had a positive experience with Jobbridge. Tell us your experience.
Yeah, mine is similar to Emma, actually, in the statutory sector, Joe. When I was a single parent for 7 years and I was studying part-time, you know, started off kind of at night-time. And I graduated there a couple of years ago in the social sciences, you know, area. And what I did was I was finding it very difficult actually to apply for jobs in that field because I didn't have enough experience. You know, there were so many people, you know, graduating that they had to kind of raise the bar up to you needed a minimum of 3 years or a minimum of 5 years experience in the various fields. So I was really, really stuck at that stage. So what I did was I, through FOSS, they put me onto the Jobbridge people who said that I could then, you know, engage with a potential employer or a potential somebody, an agency who was willing to take me on under the Jobbridge scheme, and that's what I did. I did it through, it was actually through the HSE at the time, which is now the Child and Family Agency. They were willing to take me on then and, you know, sort of to train me up and, you know, kind of gain experience, which, and I have to say that, you know, the application and the setup through Jobbridge was fantastic. I know you get only an extra €50 a week on top of your dole or whatever at that time as well, but it's you know, it's a good help, but you have to start somewhere. The only problem really, I think, was the Garda vetting. I mean, that delayed me by 6 months at the time. But Joe, I mean, the experience.
Why did that? 6 months is important at your age. Why did it take so long?
Well, I don't know. You see, just there was a delay. There was such a large amount of people looking to be Garda vetted at that time. It just, there seemed to be, it have been, now this is a few couple of years ago. I think things have improved since then. But
you would think with computers.
Yes, I know. It's just the system that's in it. I think it has improved. It's maybe down to 2 or 3 months now, but at that time it was quite lengthy. So that's sort of delayed it a bit. But I found the Jobbridge thing, you know, fantastic overall. I gained so many skills and such great experiences. And I think the networking that you develop as well, because you kind of, it's a good forum to demonstrate what you are worth and what, you know, what you're capable of. You get yourself known, and eventually then a position did come up for me, and I'm in a full-time, well-paid job now in the area that I've graduated in, and without JobBridge, I wouldn't have gained that experience at all.
Okay, just a couple of points. One, were you forced into JobBridge?
I wasn't, no, Joe. It was of my own volition, okay. And I approached
it. Did you feel exploited?
Oh, absolutely not. No way whatsoever.
Okay, did you replace a full-time person?
No, I didn't. No, I was part of a team, but I didn't actually replace any position or anything like that. I just sort of slotted in with the team that was there and gained valuable experience and skills from all members.
Okay, stay there for a second, Elaine. 51551. Okay. James Arnold has contacted us. He runs a recruitment agency. You're in favour of JobBridge as well, James. Why?
Yeah, well, you're talking about real stories, so I'll just give you two examples of two real people that I interviewed who were on the JobBridge scheme. One of them, came to me. He was working in web development, couldn't find a job, and he went onto a JobBridge, and I met him, and because I have some systems analysis experience myself, I gave him a little project to do overnight I wanted to see what he could do. He came back the next day with a lovely kind of system, an architecture kind of system, an IT system. And it was so good that I contacted an IT firm. Mm-hmm. And I said, I have somebody here who's 20, looks pretty hot, very hungry for work on a JobBridge, you know, finishing soon. Are you interested? And he said, yeah. So he had an interview, and references were checked out. And that person is starting in December. So another one, who had a degree and couldn't find a job and decided to look at a whole new career, and came to see me. And when I met them, I said, stay on the JobBridge program because the experience that you're getting there at the moment is what I need as a recruiter. And it was very, very positive, and I'm expecting that person to come back with about 3 or 4 months' experience. So I do believe it's a great idea. I think the expectations are too high for people who are going onto it, though, because they forget that employers themselves, like the SMEs, they're just emerging out of a very dark recession. Mm-hmm. And all of, you know, I won't say all of them, but the majority of decent employers who are taking somebody on the JobBridge is because they can't afford the full-time employee. But their vision is to develop their business, and their wish is that the person who's on that scheme, that they can offer them a job at the end of the program. So, you know, even if there are elements of abuse in it, which, of course, there are, but, you know, for the most part, I would say that if people are going on to it, to stay on it, if you get an opportunity, take it, because you'll already have a star in your book coming into a recruitment agency like me. And, you know, there are several recruitment agencies.
So if you see JobBridge, James, on a CV, that's a positive.
Oh, yeah, that's a star. Because it's shown that they're really hungry for work. They want to get on. They want to achieve. And the clouds are lifting in the country. You know, it's slow. But, you know, if a person is on a program there for 6 months or to a year, it'll stand to them. It won't be lost, no matter what they're doing. Because, you know, employers are looking for people who are ambitious, you know, who will do that a little extra. And it shows the employer that they've taken the initiative. And they're coming with something as well. You know, coming with valuable experience, so it's not lost.
Why do you think, was it Elaine or Emma made the point that there's so much negativity publicly? And this, as I say, is not from people who've been on the course, who've done JobBridge, but there's so much negativity around JobBridge. That is the reality.
Yeah. See, there's the psychology of our kind of recession is still lifting. There's still a certain kind of mist around it, and people are coming out of it, and it's the tail end of what we've all been through. So that negativity, I think, is there, and
is it justified?
No, it's not justified. No, I do not, because there are some things which government policy, all of us would disagree with, are not justified. But I believe that initiative of JobBridge is a good thing. Definitely is very, very positive. It's good for mental well-being, mental health. People who are just, you know, getting experience. I'm saying that the reality of it is that two people who came to me in my kind of small business with an office here in Dublin and in Donegal, that if I, as a recruiter in a small agency, am experiencing this interest from employers who are on JobBridge, and if that's reflected with other recruiters around the country, it has to be happening.
Okay. Elaine Curran, James Arnold, Emma Boylan, thank you indeed. 51551.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
By the way, a bit of very good. In the last 2 hours, the Irish team, Irish Special Olympics soccer team, has won the European soccer final 4-0 against Israel. Well done. Hopefully we get to talk to them. In the last 2 hours, the Irish Special Olympics soccer team, they've been doing the Special Olympics Irish team at the European Games, which are on in Antwerp, are doing brilliantly generally, but they won the European soccer final 4-0 against Israel. Let me bring Sean in. Sean, good afternoon.
Yes, how you doing, Joe?
JobBridge again. It's really divided people. It really has.
Yeah, Joe, I was just listening to your discussion. I haven't heard it all, but I've just listened to it the last couple of days.
And it's at times it was more vitriolic than the Scottish independence referendum. The name people called, not on air, but I just noticed the tweets and all the stuff around JobBridge. You're a traitor. Why don't you? It just go if you support JobBridge, and then people saying, well, I had a good experience. But you've been listening. Go ahead, Sean.
What I just feel about it, Joe, what struck me was, in the main, it's young people that have rang in saying that they have taken on JobBridge, they have worked on it, and they have got a job afterwards or whatever. And what struck me was, I just take my hat off to the young people who have done that, because by and large, the people that were complaining against it were older people. That's what struck me. And it just struck me as well that maybe, say, in the teachers' unions, that the ones that didn't want the teachers taking up the jobs, I would presume it was older people that sort of made those decisions at a higher level, not to allow them in. And I just think that's unfortunate. And as I say, I just want to take my hat off to the young people and give them credit, because they're the ones that decided just to get off their backsides, get out there, get a bit of experience, and in the end, get a job.
Okay, Don is on the line as well. Don, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
You've done a whole analysis for and against JobBridge.
Well, just from listening to the points on your programme, Joe, there seems to be a lot of hostility due to the discrepancy between what the JobBridge people are getting and the full-time employees are earning. And like the points for and against are the people employed are feeling undervalued or whatever, and the people that are on the JobBridge are maybe feeling they're doing the same job as the people earning full-time wages, but not being appreciated as much, you know? So what I thought would be a possible solution is, instead of the employer just paying 50 euros extra on top of the social welfare allowance...
The taxpayer pays
yes,
that.
Exactly, yes. But the point is, if the employer paid the balance between that and their full-time wage, then everybody will be on an even keel, and the JobBridge person then could pay the tax that the other people are paying who are full-time employed. So it would eliminate the hostility.
But then the company would never take anyone on apart from JobBridge.
Well, as a gentleman said earlier, there are a lot of companies now are hoping to expand and hoping to improve with the growing economy. But they may not feel they have a full-time position available. But it's an opportunity for them to see if somebody came in, can they increase the value of the company? Can they add to the business? And if so, then they see an opportunity to take on an extra employee.
Okay, Adele Foley is on the line. Adele, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe.
What's your situation, Adele?
I'm just speaking as someone who deals a lot with students, and I'd say about JobBridge, absolutely not. Students these days are having to spend typically 4 to 6 years in college. Their grants have been significantly cut, and JobBridge really is totally unacceptable.
Why?
Well, if you look at the third level education grant, it's been significantly reduced, and if you want to do a postgraduate course now, you cannot get a SUSE grant at all. I don't think many people are aware of that.
I know. I would just tell people how much a postgraduate or a master's course or whatever it is at the minute, Adele. Do you know?
The starting fees would be about €6,000 upwards.
Per year?
Per year.
A And how many years would it take normally? Postgrad, 2 years?
Well, the postgrad is typically 1 year, but for teachers going into training now, it's a 2 year master's. So the fee there is €12,000.
Wow.
That's before you eat a slice of bread, yeah, exactly, or travel to college.
Get a bus or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you're saying you're against. I see you're a lecturer in Dublin Institute of Technology.
That's right.
You're just against JobBridge, full stop.
100%, Joe. Students now, what they need is a job. They don't need unpaid working.
Sean, your list. Sean, what do you think of Adele's point?
Yeah, look, that's all fine to say what they need is a job. But really, you know, if the jobs just aren't there. You know, I think JobBridge is you know, a way of just creating jobs. As somebody said recently, one of your previous callers, the job might have been there before that, but it's a way of bringing people in and giving them experience where maybe there isn't enough money in the company to justify taking on a full-time person. And you know, in the past. You know, wage expectations have gone very, very high in this country, and it has probably come more into line now. And I think, in general, now the country has become more competitive, and you know, we're seeing the results of that in the figures. And I think that's really, as an export nation, I think this country has to be competitive. And if we lose that again in the future, you know, I think we could go back to where we came from.
Are you against JobBridge in education or everywhere, Adele?
Everywhere, yeah, everywhere. But particularly in education. The new course now to train as a second level teacher, Joe, it's 2 years now.
Yeah, but you're not guaranteed a job out of that. That's the problem. You're not guaranteed. You're not entitled to a job either.
No.
Isn't that the point? Nobody owes any of us a living. That's unfortunately the unfair world we live in.
No, but you're having to do without a living in order to train to become any sort of professional now. So surely at the end of it,
there's no surely at the end of it. There's no good people going into teaching, or indeed any third level course. No, there's no guarantee of a job. Unfortunately, there never was, but there's less of a there's less of an assurance now. But there's no guarantee of a job. You know that.
Oh, I agree with you, but
that's the world we live in. It's not an ideal world.
In your teaching qualification now, you're going to be doing about 600 hours of classroom experience. Surely that's enough. When you finish that, you've done your experience. Surely it's time to go out into the world and seek some sort of paid employment.
And if you can't get it because of the economy we live in, what do you do? Back to Sandra. Monday, sitting, looking out kitchen window. School at bottom of road. She qualified to work in the school. She's getting 180 from social welfare. She'd get an extra 50 if she could work in that school as an additional person to the allocation already, as an additional person. And she was told it wasn't going to happen.
What should she do?
And this is Friday and she's still looking out the window. Keep counting sheep.
But if she goes into the workplace on a job bridge, She's not an employee. She doesn't have any rights.
Well, you do have rights in education. You do have rights. You do have rights.
No, you're not an employee. You're not on the payroll. You're on the payroll of the Department of Social Welfare, Joe.
You can't be abused, but you can't. You know, I don't think anyone is being abused. Quickly, Sean. Yeah, sorry.
Joe, yeah. The bottom line here is that the young people are positive about this scheme. So I think they deserve the big credit here. Young people are often getting bad press for various different reasons. And I think the young people are embracing this. They're getting their experience. And the figures at the end of it is that 70% of the people that do this are getting full-time employment afterwards. And I think that's the bottom line.
I'd really query what kind of employment they're getting.
Well, we heard real stories.
In coffee shops, supermarkets, you know, these statistics are very bland. The Intercon report on JobBridge suggested that a majority of people get work, Joe, but they didn't state what kind of work.
Okay.
Joe, the young people that rang you didn't suggest that. They're very happy where they are and they're getting good employment.
Okay, Graham Hillick, Sean, thanks indeed.